Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Cheese Room podcast. This is Brendan, your host for the show. Joining me for a preview of the Arsenal game. It's been a while since we've done a preview and what a game to choose. First up is Franco. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Slightly pensive, I suppose, leading up to this game. It feels like the season's a little bit over, I think, to a lot of Spurs fans at the moment. And obviously, it's a massive game at the weekend. I think if we don't get a result, then it's not looking good. So it's kind of that ominous feeling of dread, but also kind of that mild bit of hope that we're actually going to smash them.
Yeah, I guess the only thing we're clinging on to is that form goes out the window yeah. with derbies.
Looking at Everton against, you know, Liverpool, going, come on, dare to dream.
Yeah, let's go Daesh on them. Let's go double Daesh. Also joined by Seb. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Yeah, I'm feeling quite negative. And then I thought back to that year that I think we had to play Arsenal and Chelsea in a week. Maybe, I don't know, was it about 10 years ago? And was that the Danny Rose? I can't remember. I know Gareth Bale scored. And then we beat Chelsea, just like we've got to try and do this week. So, you know, all is not lost, and let's see what we can pull out of the bag.
Yeah, exactly. Let's try it. We're not going to get spanked. That's it, because we've seen Chelsea get spanked by the goons.
Oh, you cursed it now, Brendan. That's it now. That'll come back to haunt you.
The thing is, every time I stick on an Arsenal game, they fucking win. So they think, do I watch this game? Do I just follow it in the WhatsApp group? I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, but... Anyway, so let's start there, I guess, on the sort of general feeling, the sort of vibes, I guess, around the club. Because we've been 2 weeks without a game. They've had four games in that time. And so we've kind of, you can look at it two ways. Obviously, we've had 2 weeks on the training ground to implement patterns, styles of play and get players back fitness. Because I think Porro's come back, we've lost Udogi. But we, Franco, what's your take? Do you think it's best to sort of have that regularity of games, or is a break good to recharge and regroup?
I don't know, because it doesn't really seem to have done as much favours on the injury front. I think Richarlison and Porro, I guess we don't know until we get to the presser, but I'm not sure they're going to be fit either. I think Porro's training, didn't you say? Which is a positive, I suppose. But yeah, losing your Udogie was just like a, you know, an extra insult to the injury of that Newcastle game. It's just kind of like, right, as long as we can all regroup and everyone's fighting fit for when we return. And then lo and behold, he goes and gets injured. So I don't think many people relish the prospect of like Ben Davis on that left back position at the moment. So I don't know. I think you're right. The general mood on social media, etc., isn't great at the moment. That obviously result took the wind out of our sails quite a lot. And then they go and, you know what I mean, lose to Palace. It's just like football is just so cruel at times. You look at results and think, what is going on? And Arsenal have just been good. You say they've had four games. All right, they've got that ultimate disappointment of getting knocked out of the Champions League, which was obviously a highlight. And losing to Villa as well was a surprise, I suppose. Frustrating for us as well, because it does make things very difficult for us. You've also had the fact that top five now is almost certainly not going to be good enough. So we know we need top four. So the pressure is kind of mounted in these last couple of weeks. And then, yeah, Arsenal go and get a result away at Wolves, which typically would be a stumbling block, a game like that this time of the season, and then go and smash Chelsea 5-0. So, yeah, I'm just a little bit concerned about that midweek game, because they had to move things around as well, didn't they? Jesus didn't start, Havertz was up top. They made a few sort of shifts around in their team, and they still scored some decent goals and absolutely spanked Chelsea. So, I don't know. You just got to have fingers crossed that we've been doing some serious work on the training ground, and that the one thing that always matters when we lead up to these games is the performance. And I think that's it. We need to see it from the start. And if we get that, then the crowd will be up, because I think there'll be some nerves otherwise, definitely. So I think, you know, the team need to give the crowd something to sort of cheer about from the start, and realise that they're actually going to put in a decent effort, even if, we're going to struggle a little bit, I think.
Seb, how are you feeling ahead of the game? I mean, like we said, there's been injuries, and there's been Arsenal have sort of carried on as they left off. Apart from that defeat to Villa, they've cracked on, and it was hilarious seeing them kicked out of the Champions League. Thank you, Harry. thank you, Eric.
Well, I'm really worried. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of these. I'm normally quite positive, and when we do the prediction in the Slack group and everything, I very, very rarely do I predict a defeat for Spurs, if ever. And I don't know if I have this week actually, but if I'm being truthful to myself, I think I think it could be quite bad. And the reason that I think that is that Arsenal are strongest in our weakest areas, and that really worries me. They play this kind of double attacking midfielder formation that is hard for kind of standard teams to pick up, if you like, in terms of the Havertz and Odegaard positioning and things like that. And then they completely overload the wide areas. Now, those are two positions that we don't have any players in. It's not that we can say, oh, we've got a good right back and a good left back. We don't play a good right back and we don't play a right back and a left back. We play one kind of defensive midfielder. I said it after the last game that I did a pod on, that we played 2-1-7 formation. Now you can kind of go, oh, you know, it might benefit us in terms of attacking, but our attack is misfiring and we don't have much of a defence. And that, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm really worried. I don't know what to say really, because I've tried to kind of find positives, but I think they outnumber us, and they outmaneuver us in quite a few different ways. I think if I'm trying to look for like a chink of light, at kind of going on what Franco said, I think the atmosphere and possibly the first goal is really important. I think if we go behind, I think we're going to really struggle.
Mm-hmm. Well, one other thing to sort of look at is the last time we played them, the 2-2 draw away at the Emirates, which I felt, I mean, it was in the beginning of the season, but it was one of our best performances. I thought we did match them. I think against the big six, against the bigger teams, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, United, Chelsea, we played all right this season. We've got a good record. When teams want to play, we can match them, and we're up for it. And again, maybe clutching at straws, but looking at the defence, as we know, as we discussed, Udogie is out for the rest of the, and he's missing the Euros as well, bless him, but he's young, he's got plenty of Euros and World Cups ahead of him.
If he can qualify.
Yeah. Do you think it will be Davies, Franco, that takes his spot, or do you think he'll juggle it around, bring Jaggerson in, put Van der Ven out wide?
No, I mean, those are some of the things I've been thinking about, and I don't see that we would play someone like Jaggerson just because it's a lack of experience. It's throwing him into a big game and you're asking him to play in the middle with Van der Ven essentially out of position. I know he's maybe played there a few times before, but I don't know. It's very tricky, isn't it? Because I don't think Ben Davis is a fantastic left back. And I do think, like Seb said, he's one of these left backs who doesn't stick out wide that much anyway. So he's going to struggle against somebody running against him. He tends to. So what do you do? Do you play Emerson Royal there instead on the wrong side? Because he's a bit more athletic and is going to get up and down a bit more. I don't know. But I definitely wouldn't play Van de Ven. I think Davis is probably the safe pair of feet. And that's what we'll go with. But I agree with Seb. It's just, I don't know. You look at the way that Arsenal play and the way that we've been playing recently, and I can see that they're going to cause us problems. It's a lot of it's going to be that midfield battle as well, though. And our midfield at the moment, we don't really know what our best combination is. And none of them have really been looking brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we could play like we were maybe closer at the start of the season, then, you know, when we've got that 2-2 draw, then yeah, I can understand it. But I just think at the moment, it doesn't look like things are in our favour.
I think they'll bypass the midfield. I think when I've been thinking about it, if I was Arsenal, I would not be trying to play through the middle of us. And they don't tend to play through the middle. It tends to be, you know, Jorginho is, for instance, he doesn't touch the ball very much. He's a defensive player, and he'll win the ball back, and then it just gets distributed out to their key players nominally on the wings, who then get it back into the middle around the penalty area. In terms of kind of centre circle play and around there, they don't do a lot. And that worries me even more, because that's where our players tend to play. If I'm Arsenal, I'm not getting that ball bogged down in the midfield at all. It's going wide out to the fullbacks, and then it's getting whipped in where they have strength in numbers, in like I said, in Odegaard, in Havertz, whoever they decide to play up front might be Jesus. So that's the other thing. If I was Arteta, I would be playing my Brazilian players, because Romero tends to lose his head. it happens. So, you know, he chases Brazilians around the pitch. He can't help himself. So if I'd be playing Martinelli, I'd be sucking. That wasn't going to come out right. I'd be drawing Romero out towards Martinelli, and probably playing Jesus, and thinking that Romero's going to have a bit of a mare. I mean, this is all, this is all guesswork, but it's guesswork to a point, because we're working off stuff that we've seen recently and stuff that we've seen before. I'm not very often on like the harbinger of doom, but I am quite concerned.
I mean, one thing is that we're kind of used to recently, even though we've been struggling in games, it's mostly because teams have been defending, and I don't think Arsenal are going to try and do that, are they? They're a pressing side. They want the ball as well. So I think that does open up opportunities for us. And I think we get worried about this, but we're not going to be as exposed. The situations where we've conceded a lot of our goals recently are in situations where we've been pushed up the field. Now, if Arsenal can counter, like you say, they do have pace out wide, and they are tricky. They are good. But I still think that, as long as we try and minimise those situations, and if we're sitting deep and our counter-attacking game is on good form, then we stand a chance. But yeah, I agree with you, Seb. It's difficult. The thing that worries me as well is that Ben Davis is a little bit like Dier used to be, a little bit of a ball watcher and a bit static at times, and he misses runs from, you know, and if Saka's on form, he's been really good this season. And if a little bit of interplay around Davis, so they see him as a weak link, or even the fact that Porro is quite often out of position and they get that ball out wide to Trossard and he can get inside. If they you know, exploit those situations, then yeah, we'll be in trouble. But I do think that the game presents an opportunity, because we haven't played against a team really recently that's wanted the ball.
Well, you said mentioned about the midfield conundrum. Look, we don't seem to sort of know what our best midfield is. And which one would you go with, Seb? Do you stick with Bissouma and Sarr, and then do you have Maddison or well, Maddison will play, and I don't like the fact that Maddison is guaranteed to play. He's been terrible since he's come back from his injury, but everyone seems to think, oh, Madison's definitely going to play, and then it's between the three of Bissouma, Sarr, and Bentancur. But
I wouldn't say he's been terrible. I think that's a bit harsh. He hasn't been as good as he was in those first 8 to 10 games of the season. That's without a doubt. But I think he's still pretty good. It'd be interesting to see what they do on him. And this is kind of alluding to what Franco just said about teams coming to play or teams coming to stop. And we've seen and we've spoken about it loads on the pod about teams where you can name all the kind of lower end teams, if you like, that have come to do a job on Spurs and namely to do a job on Maddison. He's the most fouled player in the league. Whether Arsenal do that, I can't imagine that Declan Rice, for instance, is going to spend his time aiming to stop, you know, his sole job is going to be to stop Maddison. So, as Franco said, that might play into our hands. Most teams have come to White Hart Lane or Tottenham Stadium and tried to do a job on Maddison. So maybe he will be freer. I would definitely play him and I would play Saar because I like his athletic ability, as I've said many a time. And then, yeah, I would play Bissouma. There are options, you know, Højbjerg and Bentancur maybe to come off the bench. But no, I would go Bissouma, Saar, Maddison. I don't know what you think, Franco.
No, I totally agree with that, if I'm honest. I don't know. I don't think it makes a huge amount of difference. I think that's the issue at the moment, isn't it? We just need to be really mobile in that midfield because I think, like, if they're going to want the ball, they're going to be passing it around their back four and those midfield positions. And we just need to be getting in and amongst it in order to break them up and then to counter. So whoever it is just needs to be on their game. I don't think it matters because we've seen each of them, every single one of our midfielders have games this season where we were talking about them. Like, yes, we found this solution. We found the answer. And like you said earlier in the season, Maddison, what an amazing signing, player of the year already. And yet he's, you know, slightly petered out in some of these games. I agree with Seb as well. I don't think he's going to find things quite as difficult. So I'm talking myself into being confident, which is a bit weird. But I can see a situation where, you know, if we can break up their play and we can break on them and we can take those opportunities, I really think, you know, we need Timo Werner not to be to have his shooting boots on for like the first time in a long time.
That's it then. So up top, are you going to go with Werner? Because if Richie's back, was there an argument to play him through the middle and Son out wide with Johnson on the other side?
There is an argument. Yeah, Muir's been making it, hasn't he, all week? and I don't know. I still think that in a game like this, I still think that Son, because again, they'll be further up the pitch. They'll probably be a bit of space to exploit. I'm just looking at their action zones for this season, 23% in their own third, 41% in the middle, 37% in the opposition third. So you can see they're going to be pushed up. If you've seen them, that's how they play. It's how we like to play as well.
Sorry, Franco, can I just interrupt? If you've got looking at action zones there, does it break down left and right for Arsenal's attacking?
Yeah, it's mostly down the right, 40% down
the right. Yeah, I was going to say, they are predominantly right. Yeah.
So 34 on the left. And you're right, not much in the middle. And that's it, because Saka's been a threat this year. But I think that's the point. If that space is behind, I think you need Son's pace. I think you need, if we win the ball in that position, you want him, you know, on his toes, play that ball through and, you know, with wide players with pace. And I the one thing I'm not going to say is I don't think we should play Brennan Johnson this week. I think Kudu should be back. I don't know what Seb thinks. Just because of his ball retention, I think he's a good out, and I think he would be the one that if the ball goes out wide, I know his decision making's been a bit patchy recently, but I still think in terms of sort of keeping the ball and getting up the pitch, I still think he's probably a bit more reliable than Johnson. But I'm kind of contradicting my point about needing pace.
I do know what I like the thought of thinking out loud now. Is I like the thought of starting with Son on the left, Richarlison up front for 60 minutes, and Kulusevski on the right with Werner. The one advantage. So we're going back to what your original question, Bren, about the fact. Well, the point that you made about Arsenal having plenty more games than us in this 2-week gap that we've had, and had 3 or 4 games or whatever, is maybe you would hope that 60 minutes in, they're starting to tire. And we are relatively fresh. And then if you bring on Johnson and Werner on 60 minutes, you'd hope to be in the game at that point, obviously, but what impact that could have with their speed. You know, they are rapid. They are two of the fastest wingers in the league. Thinking out loud, that if everyone's fit and raring to go, if you have Kulusevski, then, you know, and then, you know, if Madison's not having the game that we want him to have, you can move Kulusevski in, and then you've got Werner and Johnson wide, maybe Son up top if Richie's not 100% but he can do 60 minutes. Those are options. We had, you know, talking positively, you know, we've just discussed a lot of players both in the midfield and the attacking positions, and you know it can be an either or situation. But then you would hope then that the players that come off the bench they are good players. On another day, they might start, and that if they are on the bench, they can come on and have the impact.
Just looking though at their team, where is their weakness? Because they played Tomiyasu, they've been playing Tomiyasu quite a lot at left back. Ben White's had a good season, got a couple of goals against Chelsea. Where can we get at them? Like is the Partey back in midfield as well now? And where do you see us getting most joy against their defence, Franco?
No, in those positions. I think that's the thing, is Ben White and Tomiyasu, good defenders. And Ben White, like you said, is another good season. You know, shouts about England call-ups, etc. But I just don't think they're quite as quick, and they're definitely not as quick as Werner and Brennan Johnson are. So I think that's definitely an area. I mean, how we do it, whether we start with that pace or, like Seb says, we try and see out that first half and a bit of extra, and you know, keep it tight, and then try and bring on that pace to sort of cause them a different issue at that point of the game. I don't know what the best tactic is there to do, but I just think we need to be brave. I think we need a little bit of pace, but that's kind of why I'd keep Johnson on the bench, just so we can have a different option on that side that Tomiyasu will have to deal with in the second half.
Yeah, well, just in terms of the big picture, Seb, in the race for top four, let's just look at that for a second. We are now 6 points behind Villa, obviously with two games in hand, but they have a better goal difference. Them beating the Goons was fun. And at the time, we were like, eh, yes, fuck the Champions League. We want to see Arsenal lose. But it's looking less likely now. And we do need to secure fifth. I mean, even though fifth doesn't give us Champions League, it does get Europa League. So where are you in terms of the merits of Europa League over Champions League? Are you okay with being Europa?
I've made my peace with it, I think. that's probably the easiest thing to say on that. I think, what's done us is, I think we were all happy clappers, if you like, thinking that fifth was going to be absolutely fine for Champions League. And then, yeah, obviously it was fun to see Arsenal go out. Probably not as much as wasn't as much as a surprise to me that City went out. And then, as you said, fifth now, barring an absolute miracle. And I think I read about it. It's not even a miracle. It's like it won't happen. No. That fifth is good enough for Champions League. I wouldn't say there's advantages over the Europa, but what I would say is, and I'm going to use Arsenal as the analogy, if you like, is, if we get Champions League this year, or if that was what we were doing, we are not going to do what Arsenal did last year after they got Champions League, and go out and spend 105 million quid on a defensive midfielder. And that's going to annoy a lot of people, but that is 100% a fact. So I'm not sure in terms of transfers and the targets that we have, I'm not sure it's going to make a lot of difference. Financially, obviously, it does make a lot of difference, but that's only to the profit and loss, not necessarily to what we would actually be spending. And as Postecoglou said, you know, we went out last year when we had no European football at all. We bought Van de Ven and Vicario and players maybe that certainly, I can't say that I knew anything about Vicario before we signed him. So there are those players. The point has been made that those players themselves didn't have European football at the clubs that they were at. So then Tottenham becomes a better proposition. But like I said, we're not going to go out and sign Declan Rice. We're never going to be in the hunt at the moment, and we all hoped it would change, but I don't think it's going to. We're not in for the top bracket of players, and so Champions League or not, I don't think it makes too much difference. And the players that I've seen us linked with, there are still plenty of good players who are not at Champions League clubs, the likes of Eze, for instance, which has come up a lot over the last few days. Europa League or Champions League, it's not going to stop us from signing that caliber of player.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Opinion.
Well, there's that, and there's also retaining the current players that we have. Like, would they be, get their heads turned by Champions League teams? And I don't think they would. And the only one I could think would possibly be Romero. And it's like, well, if we get good money for Romero, I'm fine for him to move on if that's what he wants. So, and also, we're more likely to win the Europa League than we are the Champions League. It's been very, very unlikely that we'd win the Champions League. It'd be great for us to win the Europa League. And that Arsenal were in it last season. They didn't win it, but they still managed to attract players last season. As you said, they spent big.
I'm going to interrupt you there, Bren. I think it's really hard for English teams to win the Europa League. And I know it's a different format now. It's quite interesting that I'm not sure people are aware, but the league format of 36 teams, I think it is, in the Champions League is exactly the same in the Europa League. And you don't get the drop-off from the Champions League like you have done. So it's so you don't get, like, you know, the 8 third-place teams or whatever dropping in to the Europa League. However, historically, English teams have a really poor record in the Europa League. And it is because our league, the Premier League, prioritises the Premier League. They don't help the teams that are in Europe. They don't put, for instance, they don't put teams that are playing on a Thursday, they don't let them play on a Monday like a normal league would. In Germany, certainly, they put teams that are playing in Europe, they put them on a Friday and things like that to give them an extra day and so on and so forth. Premier League don't do it. It's really, really hard, in my opinion, for a Premier League team to win the Europa League. Yeah, I'd be very surprised if we went a long way. I think historically, what do we get to? Last 16, last 8, maybe. I wouldn't look at that as a competition that I think we would do well in, just because historically Premier League teams just don't do well. Chelsea have won it, have they? I think that might be it.
No, I think United won it under Jose as well. There's been a few. There's been a few. But Frank, I mean, help me out here, Frank. In terms of finances, like, apparently that we've got a £250 million war chest. See, war chest is the only phrase. It's only football that's used that phrase. Where else in the world do you use the term war chest other than in the tabloids? But financially, we're sound. So we can still attract players. We can still pay higher wages. And like at the beginning of the season, if you'd have said to me we'll get fifth, I'd have probably been all right with that. Where are you on finishing fifth?
Yeah, I think I mentioned it in the previous pod. It's just the way it's happened, isn't it? The fact that we've kind of fallen off and not really necessarily met the aspirations that we had at the midway point of the season. Fifth is fine. It's financially, it's not great. I think we've established that just looking at this year's finances, that the Champions League, especially now that it's changed format once again, is going to be worth £50-60 million just to qualify for it. That's probably going to be the difference. I'm trying to figure out the format of the new Europa League. It's like so convoluted again, but it's probably still quite a lot of games. We're not going to be playing the greatest teams in the world, but it's a difficult
rotate.
Yeah, we can rotate, but it's also it's not an easy competition. It never is. We always sort of get unstuck by teams we're expecting to absolutely roll over. So I don't know. I just want to see us play some good football in Europe, and yeah, just to go away and support Spurs somewhere foreign would be nice. Missed it. It's no fun not being in European football at all, so I'm definitely more thankful to be playing European football than not. But yeah, financially it's not the same, and I guess the appeal of the games are probably not the same either. So I do wonder what they're going to do with the stadium. At least we'll get some cheap tickets for people to go and watch games at the Spurs under the lights, so that's quite nice.
Yeah, and weird cities that you'd never normally go to.
Exactly.
Like, where's Quarabag? But you know what I mean? Like there are fringe benefits to it. And if our ceiling right now is fifth, so be it. So like we want to finish the season strong. We want to fight, but we kind of also have to accept that Arsenal are further along in their process than we are, and that's fine. Mm. As long as like we said earlier, we give them a game, and we turn up against Chelsea and City and Liverpool and Burnley and Sheffield United. That's all the games we have, isn't it? We just need 6 points, 6 points out of these last 6 games to get fifth, and that's an achievement. That's good. That's not to be sniffed at. And just looking at Ange now, Seb, how would you rate so far his first season? Obviously out of 10, if you wanted to go that way, but just are you satisfied, or are you you questioning him in any way?
No, I'm satisfied. And you, people can call me all the names under the sun or whatever, but I am fully behind a manager who says we have this way of playing and we won't deviate from that. And I was behind it after the Chelsea game. I was behind it when we were wiping teams at the start of the season. I was behind it with the kind of some of the mediocre performances that we've had, and particularly the Fulham games and the Newcastle games, which are horrible to watch, and bad results that have kind of set us back. Some of the teams that we've, you know, we've lost to this season, it's not great. But I believe if you have a manager who's as forthright as Ange is, saying the only way that we are going to play is to make plan A better. And I've seen so much criticism of that. But no, if I can get behind that, I'd rather that than a manager who kind of deliberates and there's no real sense, which we've had in the past, or more to the point, the kind of mind-numbing defensive. I mean, it's not even defensive. The kind of, we didn't even have a plan at the end under Conte and obviously Stellini and situations like that. What he's done, we can't forget. And I don't like drawing comparisons with, and I've seen a lot of it, with Klopp and Arteta and even Guardiola and stuff, about where teams finished on in their first season. But it, more to the point, it's that we were in such a bad place 12 months ago. And a year is a long time in football. It's easy to forget. You know, making that point as well is that, you know, certain things that I've seen going back years, when we've played Arsenal, when we had that 3-0, where we won and you know, and we, Arsenal then capitulated and we got the Champions League football, and pundits were saying, you know, this was a momentum shift and a big swing and everything else. And obviously Arsenal get the Europa, which is where we look like we're looking at now. We're in the Champions League. We stunk out the Champions League, and Arsenal build a squad that is now, you know, a few years later, looking at the title. So let's not, you know, whatever happens this weekend, it's not a momentum shift. It's not a big, it's not, you know, it's a game. It's a game that is pivotal in this season, but certainly going forward, we shouldn't kind of get carried away, whichever way it goes. But yeah, it's, you know, with regards to Postecoglou, no, I'm absolutely fully behind him. He's the first manager that really we've been able to get behind since Pochettino. So why wouldn't you get behind him?
And Franco, do you agree with that? Do you think that maybe we give Ange a bit of an easy ride because of his manners in press conferences, because of how he talks, because the vibes I get? Do you think that we aren't questioning him as much as we should, or are we fine? I mean, because we can, when there's defeats like we had at Newcastle and Fulham, we have to question. That's what we're here for. It would be a shit podcast if we were just like, okay, there we go. But so how are you with Ange? Are you still on board? Do you see the green shoots, to use a Paul Muirism?
Oh, no, absolutely. But I think the interview and the press conference thing and his personality and him as a person does feed into it, because I'd hated Conte. I'll be honest, I didn't ever like the guy. And it was, you know, sometimes he's quite entertaining. Sometimes his moodiness can be quite humorous. But by the end, it was just sucking the life out of us. And having Jose do that and then him do that, it was just like 3 years of torture or whatever, wasn't it? And you know, Nuno didn't just look in a bit unhappy every other game.
We will make you proud.
No, you won't. So it's just, yeah, that is part of it, unfortunately. And the start of the season was fantastic. That run we went on, you know, whatever it was, nine wins out of 10 or whatever it was a great start to the season. And it's just the fact that this, you know, we have stuttered and the weaknesses in the game have been exploited by certain teams. But look, teams are only really causing us problems when they come with that tactic of sitting back and countering against us. And, you know, okay, we lost to Man City in the FA Cup, didn't we? It was the last big team we kind of played. And apart from that, we haven't played any of the big teams since, I don't think. So it's going to be interesting that we've got them all bunched up at this point. And I really do think that on our day, we can beat any of them. Hopefully it's just like my next fear, and I did mention this pre-pod, is that, you know, we're in that situation where we're almost kingmakers, aren't we? Because imagine we lose to the Goons and then pull out one of our Man City performances and beat them. gifting the Gooners the title. Couldn't handle that. But, you know, I do think that whilst there's a good chance that we could get absolutely smashed at the weekend, there's also a good chance that we could put in a really good performance and you know, maybe get a result. So it's up in the air. I'm really just going to go into it with, you know, a lot of hope in my heart. It's a Sunday as well. That's the worst thing, is just like, you know, finishing that game and then the walk home and then the week start. Actually, I've got Monday off. It doesn't matter. I've got Monday off to console myself.
Well, before we get on to predictions, just do a bit of fluff. Like your most memorable North London derby moment, be it at a game or watching with mates. Seb, to start with you, what's your one sort of standout North London derby game moment?
It was, we haven't talked about this before, but it would be, for me, the Eunice Kabul game. And if I hope I've got this right. Someone's going to tell me I've got this wrong, but I'm sure I'm right. It was in December. It was the game where, obviously, Arsenal went 2-0 up. I think they scored two goals right on the stroke of half-time. And then we came back and won it at their place. And we never win at Arsenal. And Eunice Kabul got a goal, 5 minutes from time. I think Van der Vaart and Bale got the others. And the only reason it's memorable for me is I watched it in a pub in Chester, because I promised my missus that weekend that I'd take her out because it's her birthday. And I kind of managed to wangle it. So we ended up in a pub just, you know, oh, look, the Tottenham game's on. And sat and watched it, kind of half like, oh no, I'm paying you lots of attention, but my eyes never left the screen. And then when Kabul scored, I was in a pub in Chester of all places, and went absolutely bonkers and probably got a few strange looks, but well worth it.
Worth it. Franco, what about yours?
Well, we've had a few wins against them recently, haven't we? In recent times, we've not been too bad against them, which is why it feels even worse probably at the moment that their things sort of swift, you know, gone the other way. But I just, you know, when I started watching Spurs and going to games nearly 20 years ago now, it was just always really scary because they were so good back then. And I mean, the odd game that we then started to come back and get results against them were great. And memories really is goals. Like Danny Rose's goal is obviously, that's just a bit beta, isn't it, really? But and Harry Kane's goal as well, the, you know, pulling off his glasses. Games like that kind of are the ones that stick in my head the most. But yeah, we just got to get a win at the weekend, haven't we?
Well, for me, mine was the, I think I've said this already on the pod, so I'll breeze through it, but the Ledley King header in a 1-1 draw when they were wearing their weird sort of burgundy shirts because they were leaving the Highbury. Because I was sitting right behind the goal, but I went to get beers. It was the old White Hart Lane. And so he had to queue up for beers. So it was just before half time. So I went down to queuing up. I just hear everyone screaming. I'm like, yeah. And I was just about to order my beer. And then I ran to see the goal or to see the celebrations. Went back and the queue was enormous. When I went back, I was like, oh, fuck, but worth it, worth it. All right. Let's get predictions then. Seb, be nice. What do you reckon?
Well, you know, I said all the things that I said, I'm not very hopeful. And yeah, so I'll say 3-1 Spurs.
Good stuff. Franco?
I'm not, still can't be that confident. I'm going to go for a draw, 2-2.
That's my optimistic one, is 2-2. Just, but yeah, and look, and we can win, you know, like it's not, we're still good and we're good against teams that want to play. They'll want to play. They may be knackered after 4 games whilst we've been on the training pitch. So it can happen. It can happen.
Just need to sound a little bit more convincing, Brent. Come on. You've practiced that speech enough.
So before we go, Seb's going to tell us about Football Prizes, our sponsor. So Seb, what's up for grabs this week?
Well, they've got a fantastic prize this week, actually. The main prize is a signed, dual-framed kind of shirt display, if you like, of 2 shirts, Robbie Keane and Jermaine Defoe. So you get both shirts in a frame. Signed by obviously 2 Tottenham legends, absolutely superb prize. And then not only that, funnily enough, the 2 players that we've just mentioned, so they've got, as an instant win, that means you enter the competition, you get assigned a ticket, and if your ticket is the matching number, you win it instantly. They've got a Eunice Kabul signed number 4 shirt and a Ledley King signed number 26 shirt. There's some other instant wins involved, but there's 299 tickets. I'm just looking now. They've sold 84 already. I think it only went up today. Competition ends on the 8th of May. But what tends to happen is if they sell the tickets early, then it gets drawn early. And I think this one will go. There's 299 tickets at £3.95. Don't forget, use our exclusive discount code CR10. That gives you 10% off all your tickets. That's not just for this Spurs prize. It's for all prizes across the Football Prizes website. They've got loads and loads of stuff, loads of prizes going on at the moment for Euro 2024 and things like that. So get yourself over to footballprizes.co.uk.
Top stuff. Thanks for that, Seb. All right. Thank you for joining. Franco, thanks for joining, mate.
No worries. Let's hope the results go our way this weekend leading up to it and give us some hope for Sunday. Come on, you Spurs. Yeah.
Come on, you Spurs. Seb, thanks for joining.
No worries. Thank you for having me. Much appreciated, guys. And big game. But I actually feel more positive now than I did at the start. So fingers crossed.
Fantastic. That's what we're here for, is therapy. Well, if you're going to the game, do look out. There will be 39 Brazilians from Brazil Spurs going to the game against the Goons on Sunday. So if you see some Brazilians holding Brazilian flags, etc., do give them a hello. They're very nice people, all from Brazil Spurs. Do look out for the YouTube gang. I believe there'll be one out on Friday to, again, preview the game. If YouTube's your thing, get over there and check it out. And as ever, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.